The Old Testament reading today is Psalms 103, 6-17. Pardon me. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He makes known his way to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and generous, slow to anger, abundant in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He knows how we are formed. He knows that we are dust. The life of a mortal is like grass. They flourish like the flowers of the field. The winds blow over and it is gone. And it places remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Kathy. Our New Testament reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I don't know if the rest of you are fans of Indiana Jones movies like I am. Harrison Ford off having adventures. How fun could it be? Indiana Jones is, for those of you who do not watch Indiana Jones movies, is an archaeologist and finds himself in adventures around the world looking for ancient artifacts, treasures, and such. And this, of course, half the time ends up with him in caves or crawling through dark places, and he happens to hate snakes. And usually at some point he ends up in a cave surrounded by snakes saying something, snakes, why'd it have to be snakes? Because he hates snakes and that is the toughest thing for him to deal with. So when Paul says, love matters more than anything else, you could know everything, you could be incredibly unselfish and sacrificial, you could be incredibly faithful, you could be generous, but if you don't have love, you've got nothing. And then he says, love is patient. I find myself feeling like Indiana Jones. Patience. Why did it have to be patience? I can remember from the time I was very young not being a particularly patient human being. Maybe some of you can relate. I remember just not like being able to stand. I mean, do you remember trying to wait for Christmas as a kid? Like, took forever, right? Like, the rest of the year just kind of, like, summer vacation goes by like that. But after Thanksgiving, those days start coming off the calendar so slowly. It's going to take for, yeah. One of my favorite things has always been skiing or snowboarding. I love being out flying down a snowy slope. It is just so much fun. And when we lived in Hawaii, didn't get to go very often because there's not a lot of opportunity there. But we came back one Christmas to visit my cousins in Washington State, and we were going to get to go skiing. That was part of our trip vacation plan. We had Christmas, and a couple days after, Christmas was okay at that point in my life. I was 13 or 14, and like Christmas was fine, but 2 days after that, we were going skiing, and I couldn't wait. And it was taking so long to get there, and I remember finally that day arrived, and we had to get up early because the ski resort was about 2 hours driving away from where they lived. So we got into the car, and we were driving, like, man, we have to be 2 hours to get there. Come on, this drive is taking forever. And finally, we started getting closer. It was this little place called Loop Loop in north central Washington that if any of you have heard of, like, I'm taking you out to dinner later because, anyway, like one pommel lift, not even a chairlift, but great. It was beautiful. So anyway, we get up there, and finally, after hours in the car, we get there, and we're like, I'm like, man, my aunt is taking forever to park. Just get a parking place already. And finally, we get parked, and like, I have my stuff, and I'm out the door ready to go. And goodness, why didn't you guys put your coats on already? Like, wait, we got to wait for you to put your boots on too? Come on. Let's do this. There's the Palma started running and there's people going up it and it isn't me. And finally they get and we're leaving the car and then I realize we have to go to the rental place and rent skis. And we get to the rental place and there's like 20 people in line ahead of us. And they are taking their sweet time. I don't think I like the way these boots fit. Can I try another pair? palm is running, daylight burning. I want to be on the slope. Come on. Next person, next. Finally, we get our skis and boots on, and finally, I'm headed out there. And then I realize we have to wait in line to get lift tickets. Let's go. Slope's right there. I can smell it. Get the lift ticket, get it clipped on, get my skis on. I am there, and then there's a line for the lift, right? All right, fine. And finally, we get there. And then I'm, and then it's a, have, and has anybody ever ridden a Pama lift before? They are just poles hanging from a line with this disc on the bottom on a spring. And you can't sit on it. If you sit on it, you'll just fall right down on the ground. But you just tuck the thing between your legs, and then it just, you stay on your skis, and it pulls you up the hill. Really slowly. I'm finally here, and I'm sitting. I just, come on! Let's go! And somebody falls off, right? Somebody tried to sit down back there, and now we're stopped. And I can't sit down. I'm sitting here. Let's do this. And then finally get to the top of the hill, and then I've got to wait for my two cousins who are in the two ones behind. All right, come on. Let's go. And finally they get there, and it is finally time to do this, and I put my skis down the hill and fly, and a minute and a half later I'm back in line. And I have this realization that I am spending a lot of time being agitated for a very little time of doing what I love. And thinking that maybe my impatience is a little bit of a problem that perhaps I should deal with. Love is patient. None of us actually enjoy being patient, I'm guessing, right? I said it last week, but nobody woke up and both with love and patience, we tend to think of them as feelings. But the truth is, they're not. Paul doesn't say love is this warm, fuzzy feeling in your heart towards someone else. Paul starts off by saying love is patience. And guess what? Patience also isn't this calm, peaceful feeling you're having. Patience is how you choose to respond to frustrating circumstances. And I think one of the reasons we all have conflicted relationships with patience is that none of us ever actually want to be in a situation where we need to use it. If ever given the choice, do we choose a situation that requires patience or a situation that doesn't? I kind of laugh. I have Amazon Prime, and it gives you the option of, like, do you want free Prime 2-day shipping or normal 6-day shipping? I'd like the 6-day because just more time would be good. I should sit and think about that. I'd probably savor and appreciate what I'm getting more if I had to wait a little longer for it, which is true, but I have never chosen the longer shipping. Not ever. The only time patience is ever necessary is when things aren't going the way we wish they were. Right? Those are here's the Venn diagram. Times things are going well, times you need to be patient. They don't overlap or touch at all. Love is patient. And patience is, again, just like love, not a feeling, but a choice about how we respond to the world around us. When circumstances are not going the way we wish, when we're not on the ski slope yet, how are we going to choose to be? How are we going to choose to manage the real estate between our ears? How are we going to choose to relate and speak with what tone to the people around us? I actually really don't mind driving down here back and forth from Chico. It's delightful. It's wonderful. There's beauty. I can see the mountains. There's fields. But driving between here and San Francisco, which is the exact same distance, a little bit more stressful, right? Because traffic. The other, all of a sudden, and of course, how does that affect your driving? If I'm coming down here from Chico and somebody wants to merge in front of me, I'm like, oh, no, here you go. No, you have a good day. Whereas when somebody cuts you off or somebody puts on their blinker out there, after, like speeding up and making sure your bumper's kissing the car in front of you so there's no way that person is getting in. And to play Dr. Phil, how is that working for you? Dan, how do you feel when you're driving like that? Opportunities where things aren't going our way are, of course, never things we'd choose. We are, by definition, in a situation we'd rather not be anytime patience is even a possibility. I think this is so key to changing our understanding of love, of what it means to love, of how we can love well and get better at it, is starting to reframe and see our lives as what I think is reality, that these situations may be the very most important and best opportunities we ever have to love. Said before, at the end of our lives, at the end of my life, I know what will matter most is how effectively I have loved the people around me. And Paul's first statement here is that those opportunities to love well come precisely in places we'd rather not find ourselves. Waiting. Being frustrated. Having things turn out in ways that we wouldn't have chosen. Paul says this is the core of where love starts to be born and develop in our lives. The Greek word for patience is makrothume, patience, forbearance, literally holding off anger. Macro is taking the big view. And makrothume is taking the big view on our situation, on the specifics of what is going on in our life at that point. Anger, by the way, is a God-given emotion. It has some very powerful focuses. It focuses us on taking action. I believe it's also a really good indicator and messenger for when something is not lining up with our values. But of course, there are times where anger can also be very damaging as well. And what we do with that frustration and anger matters so much in how we affect the lives of the people around us. Because nobody ever woke up feeling patient, right? We've probably woken up feeling angry once or twice. What are we going to do with that? How do we act and speak and move in this world in such a way that leaves the people around us blessed for having been in contact with us? Patience is choosing to suspend our frustration and anger with someone else, to put that on hold, to take that anger and let go of it a little bit. And this is something that, I don't know, everybody's brain works differently, but for me, in my head, I had always thought of patience as kind of a characteristic, right? That like, I just wasn't a patient person. Which of course excused me from ever trying to be patient. Right? I don't think it's very helpful to think of patience as an innate virtue, because that's just not what it is. Patience is simply a specific choice each time. We also kind of tend to think of patience as a commodity, which of course we run out of, right? Like, I am out of patience. No, it's just a choice in this circumstance, which you can make or not make each time. Why is that on? I am so sorry. I don't think so. That would be the first. Switch got turned on. My phone hasn't rung out loud in like 4 years. That's weird. Sorry. Well, thank you for your patience. For me to see patience as instead of being something that I'm required to have or something I have this commodity of each day, for me to see patience as a choice of a gift to give to the person next to me makes it something completely different. To be able to choose to love someone by giving them patience all of a sudden makes it this wonderful purpose-driven exercise in being exactly who you were created to be. And we, of course, know this because the people who've been patient with us have made us feel loved and cared for, right? When I make a mistake and somebody is patient with that and says, that's all right, let's try again. You're a horrible person. You're fired next time. No, like we get to be, this is of course how the very practical aspect of how we love other people well is by choosing to birth this incredible, beautiful gift into situations that we'd probably rather not be in. We get to give care and kind. These two are linked. Love is patient and love is kind. The word kindness is christeomai, being loving and merciful, functioning in a helpful manner, being for someone. In fact, I love the psalm that you read, Kathy, Psalm 103, and it says, go look that up. God's loving kindness endures forever, right? This is the one we read last week, Psalm 136, says 26 times in 26 verses, God's loving kindness endures forever. This is, the Hebrew word is chesed. You got to get the ch. Try it. It's fun. Not hesed, chesed. Your throat feels better. When you read, and this is what most Hebrew scholars and the rabbis unite on, that this is probably the core descriptive word for God. It became a mantra. It repeats over and over in Torah, and then the prophets pick it up, and the Psalms sing it over and over, that God's chesed, that is the word underneath loving kindness. And it is probably the prime descriptor in the Old Testament for God. That this faithfulness of being present with, and this irrevocable goodness towards, that's what this loving kindness means. This is when love is patient and love is kind, and those are somewhat inseparable, because it is God's chesed that endures forever. And what is patience if not this willingness to continue being for someone else, even in situations where that person did something we wish they hadn't? What a beautiful way to incarnate and embody God in this world. If God is love, and love is patient, ergo, God is patient. If love is kind, and God is love, ergo, God is kind. This is, of course, what everybody's been saying all along. Spirit continues to move, as Spirit always has. God's loving kindness endures forever. And we enter into God, and God is, of course, entering into us as we let this out, right? God wants nothing more than filling us with his loving kindness, his patience. And when we choose to respond in ways that are patient and kind to the people around us, we're doing something more than just building neural networks, which you are. This is a skill, and you do it once and you get better at it. You are letting the God of the universe flow through you and be present in you to those around you in ways that God never would without you. How's that for some purpose? This found precisely in those situations we might rather not be in. Wow. Want to reframe? Instead of those being frustrating things that are ruining your life and keeping you away from your goals, those all of a sudden become precisely the places God is at work in you, giving you what you most desire. That's some judo right there. Like those things that are the greatest, think about it. You probably don't have to, this won't take you long. What are some of the greatest frustrations in your life right now? What would it mean to see those as places where you have the greatest opportunity to let God flow through you and grow you into this, and places where you give the greatest gift you can ever give? How does that change your willingness to show up for that versus run away from it? I think this is profound. I think this does flip the script on our lives and the stories we've been telling ourselves about what is good and what isn't in our lives. This says those things, those diseases, those people, they're not necessarily bad. They are places where we have the opportunity to let Spirit flow through us, where we get to be transformed. This is the incredible, wonderful gift about patience, right? Is when we choose to give patience to someone else, we are, of course, giving it to ourselves as well. Is it more fun to be an angry driver or a calm driver? For me. One of these is clearly better. I feel so much better after not getting frustrated and yelling than I do after getting frustrated and yelling. Proverbs 19:11 says, sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Wisdom is learning patience, recognizing that it is beauty to overlook transgression. This is stopping the accounting ledger, throwing out the book entirely, and recognizing that these are places where we can let love flow through us, where we have the opportunity to give something important. Researchers did a study asking students if they would wait a month for more money. They could have $100 today, or they could have $110 in a month. That's a pretty good return on your money, by the way, 10% in a month. That's 120% for a year. That's good. If you can find an investment broker giving you that, he's a fraud. and then they started studying. Some of the students, of course, were willing to wait longer, and some of them weren't. And then they started doing research on the group, and one of the amazing things they found is that the students who were more willing to wait had longer telomere length. Any biologists in here know what telomeres are? Yes. Tom. Genes. Yes, they're the, like, how long your genes repeat at the end. Guess what telomere length decides? How fast you age. When you run out of telomeres, you die. Your cells quit replicating. Patience, let me draw the line tightly for those of you who didn't follow there. Patience was directly correlated to telomere length. The more patient you are, the longer you're going to live. The less aging your body will show. You will look younger longer, ladies and gentlemen. When you are giving the gift of patience to someone else, you are giving the gift of patience to yourself as well. This is a better way of being in the world. These opportunities we have, anybody seen, what's Bruce Almighty? Or was it Evan Almighty? It was Evan Almighty. It's Evan Almighty, where it's a funny movie. You should see this one too. But his wife, like, prays that she will be given patience. And then, of course, has a conversation with Morgan Freeman, who is always God, and shows up as the waiter in the bar. And or president, yeah. Power. But Morgan Freeman, she's like, my life has just been going horribly. I said this prayer where I was asking for patience, and all of a sudden all these things started going wrong. And Morgan Freeman's back there, like, shining a cup or something, and says, okay, you asked for patience. Do you think that means God would, like, snap his fingers and miraculously make you feel patient? Or do you think this means God would give you opportunities to start practicing patience so you can become a more patient person? Prayers you shouldn't pray. God, make me a more patient person. Sure, I'd be happy to help. Oh. Of course, though, when we reframe it, this is this wonderful gift. This is the core of love. If I start seeing opportunities to be patient as opportunities to love, then all of a sudden, this is, of course, why I'm here. These aren't awful. This is a gift, a challenge, an opportunity instead of something horrible that I'd love to excise from my life. We can change how we are thinking, and it will change everything about our lives on this. Psychologists say there are a couple, I'll give you a couple practical steps. Don't just tell you to go be more patient. thanks, Dan. Number one, and I think this is amazing and maybe a little counterintuitive, is practicing gratitude. That when we find ourselves getting frustrated, one of the best tricks we can play on our brain is to be like, huh, yeah, this is frustrating, but let me think of all the reasons I have to be grateful. Maybe even for this situation. Some of you said it, and it's probably the same for me. One of the things that can frustrate me most is my children. And what do I have to be more grateful for? What a great opportunity to show them what patience looks like. What a great opportunity for me to grow. Right? When I'm driving and somebody cuts me off, I can be frustrated, or I can be really grateful to have a car. How amazing is that? Up till this point in Earth's history, if people wanted to go somewhere, they had to walk. Wow. This is a good day. Right? One of the first things you can do when you find yourself getting frustrated is to start practicing gratitude. Two, figure out what's making you feel rushed. What is it about this situation? What assumptions and presuppositions have you made? You know, what if this doesn't get done today? Does that ruin your life? What if this doesn't go the way you wished? It's usually not near as bad as we think, and we're usually letting something small ruin something good, which is the gift of this day, right? Like, what better gift are we ever going to be given than today? And man, impatience can sink that thing so fast. Like, impatient people aren't happy to be alive at the moment. Don't ruin it. Three, make yourself wait. Sometimes when you don't have to. Try taking the long line at the grocery store or Costco gas. And you always play, man, I chose the wrong line. I knew it. There's been four cars through there since I pulled up. Horrible, horrible thought space. Like, that's what a way to waste my brain today. Like, no, let's do something better. Four, tolerate discomfort. This is changing our attitude about things not being the way we want. And instead of saying, this hurts, I've got to make it stop, we can say, it hurts, but I'm going to be okay. This is actually, I love doing triathlons, which is one of those weird things, but the triathlon mantra is get comfortable being uncomfortable. And you can. Like, yeah, you know what? It's going to be all right. I may be stopped in traffic on the interstate, but I'm in an air-conditioned car with a radio and a phone, and really, it's going to be fine. yeah. And five, breathe. Air in, air out, spirit in, spirit out. You are alive. Five things. There'll be a quiz on your way out the door. Practice gratitude. Figure out what's making you feel rushed and stop the internal rant. Three, make yourself wait. Four, tolerate discomfort. And five, breathe. These are five very specific steps you can take later today when you're feeling impatient and frustrated. There are always going to be people who don't have it as figured out as you. By the way, I think one of the places that we need to practice patience most is with ourselves. It is so easy for us to get frustrated and impatient with our own failures, with our own limits and lack of capacity that we may wish we had. We're always going to see people who are faster or stronger or smarter or prettier or more capable in this area. But that doesn't change who we are, the gift of who you get to be today. And that gift is, of course, so full of potential to give this same gift to your spouse, to your kids, to your fellow church members. If we were just a little bit more patient with each other. To your coworkers, what would that look like? Maybe it's giving patience when you are having a conversation with someone and finishing listening to what they have to say before, I am horrible at that, jumping in. Oh yeah, that reminded me of this one thing. Oh, I'm just going to wait. What if we were a little more patient in our political debates? I think our world would be a better place. If we were a little more patient in our driving. That is the golden rule, means if I want to merge and have people let me in, I've got to let them in too. There's no way around it. Go ahead. It's making a better world. And when you see it at that, it's way better than saying, oh, I'm getting taken advantage of. That's a horrible narrative. Gotta go. Love isn't a bouquet or a box of chocolates. Love is giving the gift of withholding our frustration, expressing compassion, solidarity, letting God's loving kindness, his chesed, flow through us forever as well. That's my story. Are we? Yeah, we're singing a song after this, right? Yes. A good song that I chose, so I think it's good.